The Mark of the Beast exposed. Technology, control, and prophecy colliding in our time. From brain chips to one world government, are we living in the days of Noah? The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen. Join us all the way from New York City. How's things going up there, David?
It's good. It's always a little busy here, so when we record, I got to get my everyday dose.
There you go. Then,
since I didn't have any lunch, I got to get my Prima bar.
Oh, your Prima bar.
Not that I need an excuse to eat a Prima bar.
No, you really don't. You really don't. Well, as a matter of fact, I do want to remind everybody that here at The Last Christian, we do rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. So whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, really makes a difference, and it's all fully tax-deductible. Now, you can also support us by shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. There, where you buy, they give, and we grow. There's Everyday Dose Coffee that David showed you there. That's a way to start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and your body without the crash. Then there's the Conservative Store, where you can wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. There's Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, like the one that David is eating now. That's clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients for your body that will thank you for eating them. And then a Christian book, from Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources. They've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today. Donate or shop with a purpose. Together we are reaching Christ one message at a time. Stretching out there to the whole world. David, telling them all about Jesus. I can't think of anything better to do. Can you?
Yeah, it's going to be good. Here's something else, too, that since we're actually now affiliated with the Israeli Institute for Biblical Studies.
Yeah, that's new. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so we're going to have a link everybody can go. And if you wonder how we know all this stuff, that's one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's college-level stuff. It's an institute where you can learn essentially the New Testament from the Hebrew perspective, amongst other things, too. And it's really fascinating to see the original writings and what they were thinking back at that time. Well, we'll get you that link we go forward.
Yeah, we'll incorporate that in there for sure. We are happy to have them, by the way. Mm-hmm. All right, David, I want to show everybody what we're going to be talking about today, because this is going to be very big show. We haven't, but we'll do it right after this. In segment one, we're going to be talking about technology and the coming mark of the beast. Segment two, the global crackdown, where freedom and truth are silenced. And then, as in the days of Noah, corruption, violence, and control. And then we'll finish it off with the beast system and the one world government. And you are right, David, we did not pray into the show, and I'm going to let you do that for us right now.
All right, let's do it. We thank you, Father, for this time and the energy that's involved in making these programs and sending them out to the world so they can hear your word. We thank you that we're able to scatter the seeds that will reap a harvest into the kingdom. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and we're looking forward to that moment when we are together with you and for all eternity. It's going to be an amazing day. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, jumping right into this, David, you've got technology and the coming mark of the beast. We really haven't ever gotten into this too deep, and I'm kind of this show is going to be very, very interesting because people need to know that this is coming up pretty quick. You got to look at Revelation 13 verses 16 through 18. It says, "He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, many have long dismissed this prophecy as symbolic, but now, not only has it become possible, it now seems inevitable through modern technology, absent any moral compass or restriction. Beginning with Elon Musk's Neuralink brain chip, its stated purpose to connect the human mind to AI, opening doors to thought control, surveillance, and complete government manipulation and control. Then there's also Bill Gates with his new digital tattoos, which he makes clear will soon replace smartphones. This mark tattooed on the right hand will control identity, communication, health records, and even all aspects of personal and business financial transactions. There's more here. Then there's China's AI-driven artificial wombs. Now, this is seeking to eliminate the need of reproduction through normal means and redefining reproduction, placing life under state control. So you look to the book of Daniel, that's chapter 12, verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So clearly, knowledge around the globe is not only exploding with modern technology, it's being systematically weaponized against society with a single goal and purpose, to give complete control to the one world government of all humanity. With CBDCs and digital surveillance, the foundation is now laid for a cashless, mark-based economy. And this is not just economics. It's worship disguised as technology. The mark requires absolute participation of all humanity and forced loyalty and limitless obedience to the system as well. Now, David, before you comment on this, I'm going to put up on the screen here something that you sent me earlier, and that is the spinal cord technology, right? So,
Yeah,
let's look at this because it's out of Israel. But I'm going to turn it over to you here, and then if you read it, fine, and if you don't, we'll fill it in later. But there it is. Go ahead.
It says, Israel biotech company to conduct the first human transplant of a lab-grown spinal cord. That sounds fun, right?
Yep.
That reminds me, remember Star Trek? They did that? They just replicated a spinal cord for a Worf.
Yeah, bones could do anything.
So that was Beverly. Beverly was the good doctor. They didn't like the other one. So it's an Israeli biotech. Who else would it be? They're the only ones smart enough to get it done. But it's called a mattress self. Yeah, and it sounds like a mattress company. But it's a chief scientist, Professor Dal Devere, explained the upcoming human trial could potentially restore movement in people's paralyzed by spinal cord injuries. The goal is to build a small piece of spinal cord that behaves like the real thing, he said. We can remove the scar tissue and plant the engineered tissue in its place and eventually fuse a new piece with the existing cord above and below the injury. Think of it as inserting a conductor between two cut cable ends, restoring communications. They do that with fiber optics too. I was like, how do you get like fiber optics from here to there? They got like a special.
Well, I mean, on first glance, when I saw this, I was like, oh, that's a great achievement, you know. And I know I went to school with a guy. Now, he got all of his feeling back and everything, but he broke his neck playing high school football, and he came back from it. Thank the Lord, you know, no complete damage done. But, I mean, he walked around for months, you know, with this thing mounted on his shoulders. And it looked like, I mean, I told him, don't ever go outside when if there's lightning because it'll get you, I promise. Yeah. You know, it was just all these things that are sticking out. So, you know, to see something like that, your initial thought is that is a great achievement. You know, it really is. And you know, I hope it helps a lot of people, but it also sends you down, you know, science is doing things now a little bit. Well, that one's not too iffy, but, you know, some of them are. Go ahead, David.
Well, they always sell it as the good thing. I mean, granted, there is a good thing, but again, you're trying to be God without God. We got the same story going on here again that, okay, well, we can fix this. And that, and that's what they think. Oh, if we can fix this spinal cord, that, you know, so we don't need God to heal us.
Right.
Well, you do, because he's the one who made the whole thing to begin with. and he kind of designed it. You're just copying his design. But I see there's a bigger problem here, because now they can put anything they want in that DNA that they're making that spinal cord out of. Who knows what they're putting in there. Oh, we want this to, you know, to take over your DNA. We'll put that third strand DNA. You got, you know, CRISPR technology. Mm-hmm. So it all sounds good. Yeah, I could fix this. And who doesn't want to fix their spine? But the problem is every bit of technology that was ever invented was taken over by evil forces and used for malicious purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. And once you have this, you know, we talk about the mark of the beast. There's a number of things. I'm going to start with this. It's an alteration of your DNA.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you get this, because it says one, if you take the mark, you simply cannot be saved at that point.
Right.
And that's where the Nephilim were. Okay. They were subject, and they're like, well, why can't we be saved? Because you're not human. You're not even supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to recreate human-like bodies for them to inhabit like they had before the flood. Trouble is, our bodies today aren't strong enough to handle those ugly, nasty demons.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just destroy it. You've seen someone who's possessed, their body just goes to pot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they try and create this stuff, and they're going to add the third strand DNA, and it's all in an effort to create bodies because they know the time is coming up where they're going to come out of the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem becomes if you alter your DNA, you're not human, and therefore the contract term says it was man that sinned. And if you're not a man, then Jesus couldn't save you by that contract because he became a man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a half-breed, you're a demon, you're a fallen angel, there is no salvation for you. You've made your decision already. So that's what we're going to see during the tribulation. And people think that, well, first of all, it's halfway through. It's mm-hmm. it's not even right. so halfway through, so we're right. not even going to see it as Christians because we're going to be raptured out ahead of time. As a matter of fact, I want to do a study coming up soon, too. They found actually Hebrew versions of the New Testament, and they were all very rapture centric. It's really cool.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's crystal clear in the language, but not everybody is going to receive the mark. There's going to be people that rebel, which is right. going to be the cause of Armageddon, because they're all fighting against the beast. There's these countries that don't want to. They're fighting against the ones that do. Okay, but again, they're all the evil powers. They're all fighting each other. You know,
well, let me ask you this. Does that mean that those that are in support of the beast have a bigger army than those that oppose it? And the reason I'm asking that question is because God steps in. You know, so mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if they're so badly outnumbered that the only way that this is going to turn out good is for God to put his thumb on the scale.
Well, it's the whole reason for Armageddon is so he gathers them all into one place so he doesn't have to go chasing them all over the planet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, yeah. So that's what he does. He's like, oh, mm-hmm. we're going to bring them all together. We're all good. Everybody's going to go right here. I got the vultures. They're all lined up. Yeah. Everything's going to be great. It's the lowest point here on Earth, so we could, mm-hmm. we'll just fill it up. Yeah, the Dead Sea is, and all those valleys over there is pretty interesting.
Yeah, but again, you know, mm-hmm. it comes down. But if I'm reading scripture correctly, mm-hmm. Even Israel thinks it's going to be defeated. You know, there's mm-hmm. really no hope involved. And
there isn't, as far as man's concerned.
Yeah, and that's the reason that God puts his thumb on the scale, because there's just no mm-hmm. way that they're going to come out of it. I just want to make sure I'm reading scripture.
Oh yeah,
correctly.
As a matter of fact, that's the only way that you can say this is definitively God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is 100% impossible for Israel to win against all the nations of the world.
Yeah, right.
And then particularly the nations that are fighting against the Antichrist. And they're all going to be hating each other, kind of like they do today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's going to be, you know, amplified tremendous mm-hmm. amount, and they're all going to gather together, and then that's when Jesus comes back and says, okay, now I'm the king over all of you, which mm-hmm. is where it all started. You know, he's the divine council, if you would.
Okay.
They all came and they're like, oh, let us, you know, do this stuff and take over, and he's like, no, I'm the Most High God. So it's just the same old story, but in today's church, it's completely missed.
Yeah.
It's completely negated.
Yeah, oh, you can't talk about the, you know, the divine council and all these other gods. That's pagan worship.
No, that's the story.
All right.
That is the whole story. That's, I mean, everybody talked about that. Even Paul's like, hey, you got the tomb of the unknown god over here. You got Diana. You got no. Don't look at those. Look at the Most High God.
Amen.
You know, all the way back to Pharaoh says, well, who is this Yahweh that I should listen to him? I got all my gods. And he's like, no, Yahweh is the Most High God. He's coming back again to take over and say, okay, all you other principalities and powers, you're done. I'm taking over right here. And that's why he gathers them all together. But not the whole world's not going to be on board. They're all going to be fighting each other. So there will be the factions that are believers. Most of them will get beheaded because of the things that are going on.
Right.
But there will still be a multitude of believers that got saved during the tribulation, and they're over there fighting too, but they're gonna be the ones that make it through the tribulation so they can populate the millennium.
Well, real quick, I want to go back to the spinal cord thing, just real quick.
All right.
Touch on it, because this comes out of the Tel Aviv University. And you see that they just lab testing since 2022. So they did receive government approval for these human trials about half a year ago, it says, submitting results to the Israeli Health Ministry. He added that approval to begin drawing blood as soon as the first patient is chosen and cleared. I don't know if I'd want to be the first patient or not, but, you know, have to see. Also, on the website now, they state that one of the goals is to restore independence, reducing the economic burden, and redefine the future for spinal cord injury. It's all good, but you're also stepping into God's territory a little bit. And, you know, I'm not saying it's all bad, but, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, they sell it. They sell the good parts.
Yeah.
Because everything's got good and bad to it.
Now, I am going to also, here in a minute, I'm going to show people a little bit more about this, where you're going to see that the technology is really stepping in and really making an impact to the point that in one case, they're saying, how much of this is God going to take? Anyway, we'll get there in just a couple of minutes here. But go back and see. Let's look at this one. This is the global crackdown, Freedom and Truth Silenced. If you look in Amos chapter 8, 11 through 12 verse, behold, the days are coming that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So unless you simply don't want to admit it, the fact is that nations across the world are openly cracking down on freedom of speech. Some wish to claim that conservatives are to blame, where if you're honest about it, it's easy to see that the progressive movement and the cancel culture that it esteems is clearly to blame for this, attempting to lead a godless change devoid of any common sense or even undisputable scientific facts. Here it's easy to see that social media platforms banning voices that don't follow government or globalist narratives, and where biblical preaching on morality increasingly branded as hate speech, even in Christ's sources around the world. One incredible obvious example being the new and constantly rising censorship laws in Europe and Canada, where pastors face jail time for proclaiming biblical truth. And we've kind of gone over that with Mark a couple of times when he's on the show. But what do you think about that, David? Is that, you know, again, the government telling you how to think? And then I'll bring up the something here from Elon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a standard thing. I forgot who said it, but he said, you know, if you remove God from society, then the government becomes God. And then they think that they can tell you what to do. So now it's all the power hungry people that want to get elected so they can feel big and tell everyone else what they have to do.
Yeah.
But that's the same old story since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I want to, before we run out of time here in the first half, I want to introduce the first part of this Mark of the Beast thing, because mm-hmm. I feel like that we're really getting to the point now where people are beginning to see that, yes, technology can do some really good things, but technology can also take us down a path that we may not want to go. So let's look at this. Bill Gates, he plans to replace smartphones with innovative electronic tattoo technology. It's a bold forecast that's stirring debate in the tech world. Microsoft founder Bill Gates has suggested that smartphones may soon become obsolete, giving way to an entirely new kind of technology. So forget everything you know about handheld devices. He envisions a future where electronic tattoos redefine how we connect, communicate, and live. For over a decade, smartphones have been central to modern life, helping us check emails, scroll through social media, and navigate our daily routines. But Gates believes this era is approaching its end. He points to electronic tattoos, first developed by Chaotic Moon and later acquired by Accenture, as the next breakthrough in personal technology. These tattoos wouldn't just replace screens, they could enable seamless communication, internet access, and even real-time health monitoring, all built directly into the body. Imagine interacting with the world through gestures or touch, with no devices to carry at all. And if you look down there, the picture that I have included there is Bill Gates, and he's showing off one of these things. Of course, now it's not going to be as big as that or anything else, but it gives you an idea of what he envisions as the future. What do you think about that, David?
I think Gates is a clown. Look, you got a lot of money, okay? Uh-huh. Just go hang out somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. do something good. I don't know what makes them think this is going to be good for society to give everybody the shots and to have this technology and to parse the world down, other than if he's being influenced by these powers and principalities, also known as, the New World Order and all mm-hmm. those people. Mm-hmm. They're just the fallen angels, and yeah. they want their kids out, and they're going to keep on pushing people like this. And what? How do they sell it to him? Oh, you're going to be powerful. You're going to be our top leader. You're going to be, all this, and you're going to get the technology first. And don't worry, it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be the first one on the dinner plate.
Yeah.
Along with the handful of them. Like, oh, good, we can eat these guys.
Yeah, the elitists are in for a big surprise when they finally do get their way. And they are at some point. They really are.
They told us. Remember that Twilight Zone where he says, "I've come to serve man"?
No. Yeah, but
basically, it was a big robot, and he says, "I've come to serve man."
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that. Okay. And then at the end of the show, it was like, mm-hmm. it wasn't to help us. We were on the menu.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Okay, I want to continue with this for just a second here. Another hint that we are fast approaching a time when the true Church of Christ will be replaced by the forced worship of the Antichrist is seen through anti-Semitism exploding globally almost daily. We see the unhinged and uneducated masses accepting Nazism that they say they hate. So, bombarding Jewish students on college campuses and even in synagogues and public places with threats and violent actions just because of their ancestry and their religion. That, factually speaking, is true Nazism. Yet they're too blind to see it or acknowledge it. Even world governments are turning blind eyes to attacks on synagogues or the anti-Semitism within their own borders. This while the United Nations continues to issue endless condemnations of Israel while ignoring terrorism and propagating lies against the world's only Jewish state. And then to finish this section off, here remember that while the UN and anti-Semitic nations falsely claim war crimes against Israel for their actions of self-defense in Gaza, they fail to report that Israel is the only nation in all of world history that has provided aid and food to an enemy during the wartime, or that war itself was a result of the unprovoked and cowardly act of terrorism by Hamas on Israel. But here it's important to turn to Scripture again, as Jesus himself warned us about the hate that would be directed against Israel and those that follow Jesus Christ. In John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Or in simple terms, hatred for God's people and Israel is hatred for God himself. It should be clear that each of the lawless actions we see now are evil crackdowns, preparing people to accept only one false truth, the beast's narrative, the ultimate goal being that once free speech is gone, all dissent against the beast system will be criminalized worldwide. Well, only got a little bit of time left here, David. I'll let you take us out of the first half and comment on that.
Yeah, the irony of it all is that, you know, they're claiming all this stuff against Israel. Oh, Israel's this, and oh, Israel's not the son of, you know, the people of God, and things. And you see that, and unfortunately, it's moving through the church a lot, where, you know, it's anti-Semitism that the church replaced Israel and this and that. And the irony of it is that's the very thing that the Bible says will mark the end of the age.
Right.
Is the fact that you are doing this and saying that they're not of God. And it's like, okay, so you're proving that they are because you're doing that. So in your denial of Israel, you're actually proving that Israel is the children, or else you wouldn't do it. You'd be like, yay, Israel. And so here we are. We're getting right up, smack up close to the end. My concern is all these people that say they're Christians, yet they're, you know, actually calling God a liar. I wonder if they'll actually be going, you know, with us. Yeah. And it's funny because I see, I would say the vast majority of anti-Semites and replacement theologists don't believe in the rapture. I'm sure there's some that cross over, but I think it goes hand in hand with their amillennials, the anti-Semites, preterists, and it's all kind of the same idea. But that's worthy of a bigger discussion. In the meantime, Jesus said he was coming back and Israel will receive him in the end time, and there's a ton of scriptures on that. We should do like a whole show just on that. And how it works is he became a man, and Israel was used by God to bring the Savior in, so he can become a man, so he can take over that contract of death that you have, all right, and give you a contract of life. That's what he said. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's literally a contract of life. I would encourage you to receive that. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on RevelationRadio.net.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton there on your left. Joining us from New York. David, I want to get right back into this stuff. But before that, I know that you were telling me something about something you saw, I believe, on Facebook even. Can you go into some detail on, again, another scientific, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the whole spinal cord thing because they're trying to rebuild bodies. I don't know if you remember the $6 million man. It's gone up a little bit since then.
Engineering. Yeah, it'd be like $6 billion now or something.
Yeah, okay. But this one's about an artificial cornea. So it's, again, how it sounds great. You know, they staple this thing into your eye and you can see again. But then here we go. What is going on? And what are they going to put in your eye? Can they put in something that's way better than what we can see? Can you see infrared with it? Can you see? Now you got bionic people going all around. And then so just by its very nature, you can imagine they're going to do all sorts of body parts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if they start that, then you got these people. Oh, look, we can make you live for 1,000 years. And I got all these promises, but at what point do you become not a human being?
Right. Okay. And that's really the point right there. Like my wife, she's had cornea transplants, three of them. But I mean, these came from people, you know, normal human beings. And, you know, as is the case with most transplants that come from a person that's deceased. I mean, you know, I'm not saying all transplants, but most. And so, you know, that's a human donating to another human. I think that's okay. I know.
They have to give them anti-rejection drugs all the time, too, because your body will recognize that it's not the same DNA.
Right.
Hey, this heart isn't mine. What's that doing there?
Yeah,
I just had a friend of mine pass away because he got a kidney transplant just a few years back. And then I had another lawyer friend. He died, but he gave his eyes away so someone else couldn't see for a while. So, again, it sells it as a good. But then in the end, you know, how human are you? And are we playing God at this point?
Right.
So I'm kind of I don't know if I would accept that. I'd be like, well, I'm getting a new body soon anyway, so just let me live this one out.
Right.
But then, you know, I've lived probably most of my life already, so it doesn't matter to me. If I was 20, maybe I'd say, you know, you give me some new eyes or something.
Yeah. Well, I want to look at this, David, because this just kind of ties into it. It says, as in the days of Noah, corruption, violence, and control. You look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be? So, you know, you have to quickly review everything we've talked about here science-wise, operating under God's law and the world's desire to set aside biblical truth, leading us toward the same narrative that was written in Genesis 6. Those events, just as now, show the corruption of humanity, the violence filling the earth, and the mixing of God's creation. So you got these biotech tattoos we talked about, brain chips we'll get to in a minute here, altering the body and mind. Artificial wombs, that's coming up, guys, and you're gonna want to hear this one, okay? Global speech crackdowns, altering truth itself, and, of course, rising violence and lawlessness that are sweeping cities all over the world. Let's see, looking at Genesis 6, 11 through 12, the Bible says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Today's corruption is just as bad, if not worse. You got governments normalizing sin while criminalizing righteousness, corporations enforcing ideology, global institutions preparing systems for dissenters, where dissenters are cut off from financial, medical, and social life. This is the foundation of the beast system, corruption at every level. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." So I said we were going to look at this artificial womb thing, and I think this is a good place to put this, because it really it brings up a couple of things here. This new report, and this report was just released on August the 20th. It reveals that China is working on designing a bot with an artificial womb. Okay, now scientists involved state that this bot will receive nutrients through a hose in its abdomen, which,
like
according
RoboCop.
To them, yeah, according to them, now this will soon be able to carry a fetus full term before giving birth. Now, if you would like to see this full report, because I pulled this this scientific achievement or project from a YouTube video that was courtesy of End Time Headlines. Now, End Time Headlines is a very big site, and you can go there directly. I'm not going to try and read this long URL for this thing, but if you're watching us in video form, you can see it there, copy it or whatever. If you're not, then I invite you to go to lastchristian.net. And you can see this presentation there. And if interested, you can go to this and read it, and I encourage you to do so. They do discuss how more warnings are being given of where AI is headed and where we are now at the point of no return, just as in the days of Noah. Now, what do you think about that? And by the way, this article was kind of titled, "How long is God going to put up with this kind of stuff?" You know, something like that. But what do you think about that? A baby placed or in a robot to carry?
Yeah, it's you know, again, it's man trying to play God, and then these creatures, they can't do it on their own. They have to use mankind, because we were given dominion and authority, and we're the ones that live in these bodies,
right?
So they have to infiltrate us, or else why don't they just go make their own somewhere, you know? Get a pot and start boiling it up. They can't. They have to manipulate ours. So it's the same old story. They wanted to destroy mankind so the Savior couldn't come, and then they think they win the chess match. And they're trying to destroy Israel now, and it all fits in. It's the same story, because if they destroy Israel, then Israel doesn't receive their Savior, and then there goes the prophecies. Okay, so if you're anti-Semitic and you think the church replaced it, you might as well just throw out all your prophecies, because that's what it's all about, is Israel receiving the Lord and Satan trying to stop that from happening. In all honesty, you're just uneducated in there, and you need to re-educate yourself. Because if you're throwing Israel out, you're throwing that out. And if in the days of Noah, I've heard preachers how many times, they were just, in the days of Noah, they were just living their life, and they were just getting married and hanging out, and then the flood came. No, they were eating flesh and drinking blood. It's very indicative of what they were doing. If you read the Book of Enoch, you could see that they started to eat each other, three different races of giants. Mm-hmm. And then they ran out of each other. So they started, you know, they started eating mankind. They started eating all the animals. It was corruption all over the place. Yeah. And then man was just kind of falling for it. And they're like, yeah, let's worship them as gods. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was just chaos all over the place. So that's why he had to, you know, destroy everything. Well, we're getting to that same point where it's chaos. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be caused by these creatures and mankind trying to usurp the position of God.
Well, you know, you pointed out, David, that, you know, because of our DNA being mm-hmm. so degraded now that our bodies are not physically able to handle what was what people at the time of Noah were able to handle, if I'm mm-hmm. if I'm reading that or listening yep. to you correctly. So Satan can't come up with a new deal. You know, I mean, he tried this trick before, right, with, you know, corrupting mankind to where the Savior wouldn't come. And he's got mm-hmm. to try to do the same thing in a different way, a more technological way. Mm-hmm. So you've got all this new stuff with science going on. But it's the same ballgame, right? I mean, it's exactly the same thing. You're doing...
it's changing, the same end goal, yeah.
Yeah, you're changing humans into transhumans. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know what it was like then, but you may have some in-depth on that. I don't know how they accepted that back then. The transhumanism is what I'm talking about. But now it seems like the world is extremely receptive to the idea of transhumanism, or am I misreading that?
No, that's true. It's they did want it back then because they thought they were gods. They're like, oh, look mm-hmm. how wonderful they are. Mm-hmm. And you see, and it says men of renown in the King James. Mm-hmm. So basically it's the old stories. And if you look at it, they glorify people like Hercules, who had God mm-hmm. as a father and a human mother. You know, he had Zeus, and they all have the same MO, and we still tell the stories today. I am Thor, you know, and he comes mm-hmm. down with the hammer, right. All this other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all Nephilim stuff, and then we glorify it because we think, oh, they're so much more powerful. They must be bigger, better, faster, smarter than us. And they lie to make us think that anyway, which is why man became corrupt. Every thought was continually evil. Now, evil doesn't mean, you know, every last thought was, hey, they're going to go out and steal something from somebody. Every last thought was, oh, I can be God without God.
Right.
That's fine.
And that's what we have today. Yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do now.
And you even have it today. Yeah. People go, they walk around their whole lives, and you're like, oh, I don't need God to help me with that. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, I live my whole life without God. Everything's fine. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to receive the Lord. Mm-hmm. That is the evil he's talking about. We think, you know, it's all these people. No, the evil is the fact that you think you can be God without God.
Well, one thing that I do want to bring up before I forget it is there was somebody on one of the feeds that I monitor talking about Israel and that we didn't need to support them anymore, not militarily, not, you know, they were bad, just write them off. Now, this is somebody that's supposed to be a Christian, okay? Mm-hmm. That everything has changed. And the only thing that I could come up with, and, I, you know, I didn't participate in that. I didn't want to get into a debate with somebody. Just what's the point? You know, you're not going to change their mind. But I don't know. It bothers me that Christians think that we can just, you know, replace Israel with the church. That's a replacement theology, right? And I still don't get it, David. And, you know, like I said, I stayed away from that particular discussion because I know enough about it to be dangerous in a bad way. You know, so I didn't want to participate in something that I'm not educated well enough on to get involved in.
Yeah, I mean, the short story is this. It actually started with the early church because a vast majority of the early church was all Jews, mm-hmm. you know, and then they started, okay, and they called them out, and then, but we're the good Jews because we believe in the Messiah, but they're like the bad Jews. Mm-hmm. And then it just started little by little as more and more Gentiles came in and says, oh, those Jews killed Jesus, you know, and then then we move on into Augustine and Constantine and all the other teens. And So it just kind of moved in that direction that they were just mad at the Jews, when technically they were mad at the false Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all. They were the ones that were there for political reasons. Unlike the Essenes, all became Christians because that was their doctrine. Their doctrine was, hey, the Messiah is coming. He's going to be here. He's going to do this. Mm-hmm. And they predicted the exact day. So they knew who Jesus was. And that's why the vast majority of them were Jews, in a sense. But they were Zadok priests. And they were of the light, they called themselves. Well, they were of the way.
Yeah, I saw some, David, on just on that topic. You know, don't read anything outside the Bible, which I think is kind of stupid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you've got to look at other writings as biblical, but as support, as reference material, as additional information, of fill in the gaps kind of stuff. Well, and if it goes crazy, drop it. You know, but if it makes sense and it seems like it is edifying, then why not? You know, like I think you've said this many times, that you know the Bible is kind of like the cliff notes or the very basic stuff that you need to know in order to become saved.
This is the bare minimum you need to know for salvation. Think of it as that this is the contract, right? Mm-hmm. Here it is. Mm-hmm. This is the contract, and when they put contracts together, both sides go over and they look at it and they boil it down and it's fine tuned and this and that and the other. Okay. But when you look at a contract, and since obviously he's God, it would be an adhesion contract at this point because he's much more superior than us. So he fine-tuned that and say, here's the fine-tuning of this contract. But if you're looking at a contract, you're going to go get, you know, Black's Law Book, okay? And you're going to look through there, oh, what's the definition of this? Oh, it's over here. Mm-hmm, and you're going to find information about it, whereas the contract is the thing that holds the weight. All these other things can shed light on the contract that you're trying to seek.
Yeah, it makes more,
like I've learned so much from Jubilees about Genesis in particular that now it makes a lot more sense where there was missing information, and now I can put it all together. Yeah. That doesn't mean Jubilees is perfect.
Right.
But especially, you know, the version we have today might be a little bit wonky, but most of it sheds light on Genesis and insights that we have, but knowing that if there's a difference, the contract holds all the weight.
And then there's also things like the Ethiopian Bible, where you know certain things that were left out of the King James or left out of others that you know that we listen to or that we read over here that are included in the Ethiopian Bible. Does that mean the Ethiopian Bible should be thrown away? I don't think so.
Yeah, because they think we're missing things, and we think they added things. Like, so who's right?
Yeah. All right, let's get to, we've got one more segment here to go through, and this is important because we're talking about the beast system and the one world government here. And, you know, again, believers know what's coming next, okay? All you got to do is look at Revelation 13:7-8. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Make no mistake, what we are witnessing is the assembling of a one world government under the Antichrist. The United Nations is increasingly acting as a global lawmaker. The World Economic Forum calling for a great reset and centralized control. National governments enforcing compliance and global agendas like climate, digital ID, and speech laws. It's not a coincidence. It is actual prophecy that is unfolding. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. The beast system end goal is, number one, economic control through digital marks and CBDCs, religious control through enforced worship, government control through a one world system. But now hope remains. If you look at Revelation 24, shows that those who refuse the mark will reign with Christ. And Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the line is being drawn. The world is rushing into the beast system, but Christ is the ark of salvation. So that gets back to Noah again. Noah's ark was the escape for humanity back then. We are now getting back into the days of Noah, and there is only one escape, and that is Jesus Christ. So what do you think about all that, David?
Well, I want to focus on this, too, because a lot of times people say, you know, Noah is a type of us escaping everything. But look at it clearly. Enoch was pulled out before the flood.
Right.
And he knew about the flood, that he was the one who prophesied about it. Okay? And he even named his son Methuselah, which means when he dies, that's when it's coming. But Noah was protected through it. So we have a prototype here, again, where the church is taken out before the judgment comes. And Noah is a type of Israel that's protected through and going to make it to the other side. Okay, and that's what we're going to see. So even when sometimes people talk about one is taken and the other is left in Matthew 24, it's about Israel. So taken might not be the good thing. You know, because what if you were taken in the flood, but Noah was left? Maybe maybe the people that were left were the ones that were left here to populate the earth after that tribulation. You got to look at it, and the language suggests that. Actually, I'm going to look it up in that Hebrew version too, see what they came out of there, because they were looking for Jesus to come.
Right.
Every single disciple, all of them, they were looking for the king to come and rule at that time. None of them said anything about this. Okay, this time of the church. What do you mean, church? I thought you were coming to rule. Like, well, we got a problem.
Yeah.
So,
I know Matthew 24.
Enoch was taken out ahead of time.
I know that Matthew 24. You know, I used to read that as rapture. You know, okay, it's obvious. It's got to be the rapture. No, it's not. You know, whenever Christ is talking to the disciples, he's talking to a bunch of Jews, and they know nothing about a church. So if you put it in the proper context, then, you know, go back to Matthew 23. You know, if they'd only received me, you know, I would have gathered them like a bunch of chickens, right? A bunch of chicks. But they didn't. So here's what's going to happen next, and it's going to happen to the Jews. He's not talking to a church at all in Matthew 24, and that's something that people need to understand, because that entire chapter is being preached incorrectly. In my opinion, it's being taught incorrectly in churches all over the world every week. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know if it's their fault or not, but just like every other sermon I've ever heard, I go check it out. But, you know, and you look, okay, wait a minute. Let's look at this in context. Like when it says, you know, the restrainer is going to be here. Read it in context, where the church has the Holy Spirit in it, and the Holy Spirit's the one that's restraining the Antichrist. So when we go, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But before, you know, before Christ came, the Holy Spirit came upon people. He would just kind of pop in once in a while, where now he dwells within us. So there's a difference between Israel and the church, one of the major differences. So when we go out, then there's no restrainer here now, and then the Antichrist is going to take over.
Yeah.
It's also the same thing when it says, the great falling away. Oh, everyone's talking about the falling away. Well, the church fell away 2,000 years ago. There was agnostics, and there was all sorts of great falling away.
Right.
And they did everything they can to hold on to the gospel. So how come it wasn't then? Well, it turns out the word is apostasia, which literally means departing. And that's how Tyndale put it. But King James was political, and he was arguing with the Catholic Church, and he said, oh, they fell away. So he translated, says, no, make this falling away. Then we could see the Lord's going to return with that. It was a political statement by him and his demonology book, for you King James lovers. But that is the departure. And the entire, I think it's at least two chapters is talking about the rapture. So it just makes sense. It says, well, you won't see the man of lawlessness until the church is taken out of the way. It departs.
Right. Right. I got into, you know, I told you once before, one of the groups that I'm in, talk about, you know, okay, well, at the moment of the rapture, boom, we're out of here. Okay. And, you know, I kept seeing the same post over and over again. So I finally said, okay, wait. All right. Let me try to explain to them how they could possibly be wrong. Oh, my goodness, David. I wish I hadn't opened my mouth, you know, because, you know, oh, well, yeah, it's clear. You know, yeah, we're yanked out. And I said, show me. Show it to me where it says we vanish. Well, you know, people that see this, they would look at it like we vanished. Well, okay, maybe they would if that was the case. But, you know, we're looking at the dead rise first, mm-hmm. and then you've got a then, okay? Then, mm-hmm. then is time, correct? So, you know, so you have a then, and then the people who've accepted Christ will mm-hmm. meet him, and it says it meets in the air, but it doesn't say it instantly meets in the air, and mm-hmm. it says that we join the those that the dead that rose remain, first, yeah. right? So, you know, I've said there's a time statement here. Does that mean that it's a second later? Maybe. How about a minute? Maybe. How about an hour? Maybe. How about a day or a week or a month? You know. Look
How
at
about
other,
a Queen's age?
Yeah, look at other instances where God took someone. And that's the word that's used, right? Took mm-hmm. or take, whatever. Okay. We got a chariot in fire. Okay.
Yep.
We've got Jesus himself. You've got people that rose from the dead in the grave, popped up out of the grave when he was, mm-hmm. He was around. What was it, 40 days, I believe?
Yep.
You know, so what's to say that, yeah, we're all changed in an instant. I agreed with him on that point. We're all changed in an instant.
Yeah, whether you're dead or alive.
Yeah, whether you're dead or alive, we're all changed in that instant. But it doesn't say that we're just like yanked out of here and gone. It doesn't say that anywhere.
Like a magic trick. Actually, in Acts chapter 1, is the prototype for that. They watch Jesus go up in the air.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And why are you watching? He's going to come back the same way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then people will be able to watch us.
Yeah. I said, wouldn't that be cool? You know, do you go, mm-hmm. you know, people, you people here may watch us.
I'm going to say, like, yeah. I told you so. Or, like, will it be sad for them?
See, it wouldn't want to be you. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. Am I going to be sad for them? Or am I going to be, like, I mean, I guess the people I love, I'll be sad for them. Mm-hmm. But then you know, we'll have a revelation at that point. It's mm-hmm. like, well, that's the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, really the Bible says, you know, wipes away every tear. You know, and I have, I used to interpret that in a different way than I do now. I used to think, well, okay, there's nothing to be sad for. And then I think, well, no, that's not really what it says. It says who wipe away every tear.
Yeah.
Like
so we'll have
you
tears.
See it. You see it, you acknowledge it, you're sad for them, and Jesus comes along and it's kind of like a, well, just like a father and a little child. And he says, it's okay. It's okay, and here's why. And wipe that tear away. You know, so I don't know which way it's going to be, David, but that, you know, that's the best description I can make of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I would tend to agree. And, you know, there's so much that we're taught by just people's thoughts and mm-hmm. what they have. You know, like, I'll fly away. I love that yeah. idea, I'll fly mm-hmm. away.
Yeah.
But it actually says we're going to be caught up into the air and go meet. Yeah. So, and then we'll be in his presence. So that's going to be cool. I wonder if we enter into eternity if everybody lands at the throne at the same time.
But yeah. Then, we're going to find out.
That's going to be cool, too.
We're going to find out. And it's all like, right, well, take us out, David. Take us out.
All right. Well, you know the rules, people, okay? If you haven't heard it yet, you sinned, you violated the contract. Jesus came and paid off that contract that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I would highly encourage you to accept that contract. And we'll see you next time, Lord willing. You guys have a great day.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality, and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.